If you have a Bible with you, whether it's in print or on your phone, if you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, we're going to go there in a minute. Then we're going to finish up in Luke 11. Jeremiah 33, 3, and then Luke 11. So the title of today's message is We Have a Good, Good Father. That'll probably stick in our minds because the song we just sang, that'll help us to remember. You might have seen the bulletin cover. It has Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. And, you know, I think as I look around, I see all these guys that are Christian, born-again Christians, love the Lord. And I know if you're like me, there's some days that you think you're doing pretty good, and there's other days you're thinking, okay, I got some room for improvement. Isn't it good to know that we have a perfect Father who is perfectly righteous? And so this verse, I know we read this verse, and we usually apply it to ourselves and our kids, but I want to encourage us today, let's apply it to Him and us, His kids. So our Father is a righteous man who walks in His integrity, perfect integrity, and us, His children, are blessed after Him. I like the sound of that. Because I can get in trouble sometimes. I can get a little bit distracted or confused, discouraged. I don't know about you guys. And I can start evaluating my faith level or my my tunnel of reception from God by what I'm doing, how well I'm doing, or how poorly I'm doing. And so if I've had a bad day or a tough stretch or whatever, I might think, okay, I don't really deserve a lot because I really haven't been my best. So I got to get my A game back going, and then I'll go back to God, and I'll see if I can get that big thing that I'm praying for. And that's just completely stupid, dumb, wrong thinking. Amen? I don't get anything good from God because I earned it. That's the opposite of grace. That earning stuff, that's what you do at a J-O-B, right? You go to your J-O-B and you fight the man, you bring home the bacon and you get your paycheck, which I did many years as a tool and die maker. Ooh, thank God He set me free from Egypt. Glory to God. If you've ever been in tool and die, you know what I'm talking about. So today I want to encourage us, we get everything we get from God because He's our good, good Father. We didn't earn His love. Even when we accepted Jesus, we didn't earn His love. He created us unique and special just like we are, and then He put His love on us. He made a decision to love us. We can't mess it up. We can walk away from God. We absolutely have a free will. We can do anything we want. He's still going to love us. It'll break His heart when we walk away from Him. It'll break His heart, but He loves us completely and totally. He wants nothing better than to show us how much of a good, good Father He is. I got a friend named Dave Lemmer. He's out in Wyoming. He's a real cowboy out in the other Wyoming, not Wyoming, Michigan, Wyoming, Wyoming. And he likes to say God's a good God in a good mood who loves blessing His kids. Amen. Our God's a good God who's in a good mood who loves blessing His kids. Amen. I think it's a great thing to think about on Father's Day. So there's no one more righteous than our Heavenly Father. He's walking in His perfect integrity. Do you know the word integrity means two different things? This comes from Webster. Webster says, first off, integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. So when we think of someone that has integrity, we think, well, they got really strong morals and they stick to it. I think we all get that. You know another meaning of integrity? It's the state of being whole and undivided. So a man with real strong integrity is a man that's whole and undivided. You can use it this way, upholding territorial integrity or national sovereignty. For me, what I was thinking about when I seen that second one, because I knew about moral integrity, but I didn't think about like the integrity of a ship. If a ship loses its integrity, it's going to sink. I didn't think of that like that. But when you think about when we're walking with God, from the day that we first hear the message of the gospel and we accept it, that first couple of minutes, there's no way you did anything to earn God's grace or favor or love. First couple minutes when you're saved. Remember all that? Do you guys remember that? When it's just like this explosion happens inside of you and you understand that God loves you and that you're completely forgiven And it's just like, yeah, whoa, wow, you know, and your cheeks start cramping up because you're smiling so hard. And it's like, you just know your whole everything changed. Stir that up in you, because that is your relationship with God. That's where we should all be living. We should be encouraging each other. Man, you are so awesome in God's eyes. You ought to ask him for something. Just let him show off a little bit. Just let him show off. How many grandparents do we got here? Ooh, we got quite a bit. How many regular parents we got? Not so grand. No. Let me see the parents again. Okay, awesome. How many dads and granddads all at once? Dads and granddads. Okay, awesome. Now, is there anything funner than when your kid or your grandchild runs up to you and asks you for something that you already bought special to give to them? Is there anything funner than that, than giving that to them? And they're like, wow, look at this. This is so awesome. And you're like, yeah, I was waiting to do that. That's what God does. God's not sitting somewhere going, okay, Mike's got to pray 27 hours this week. I ain't giving him nothing. Shoot, you see how he acted last week? It's the opposite. He's up there like, I got all this stuff. I got all these things. I got signs, wonders, and miracles stacked up for you folks. Just ask me for it. Walk in some of this stuff. The Bible says he literally created good works for us to walk in before we were ever created. He's already got a stack of good things waiting in our lives. Phew, come on. Let's have some of this stuff. So God is wholeheartedly in love with us, and his love has perfect integrity. His righteousness and his love have perfect integrity when he points that at us. We are the targets of his love. Whew, man, thank you, Father. So I know there's a couple teenagers in here today. You know, being a kid, being a teenager nowadays is tough. Do you know being a mom and dad nowadays is tough? I just jotted down a few things. The difference between nowadays and when I grew up, I grew up in a whole different century. Sometimes it feels like I grew up in a whole different galaxy, to be honest with you, when I see some of the stuff going on today. Wow. More than ever before, parents need to be proactive more than reactive. I think when I was growing up, my parents could be really reactive. That's almost all they ever did, really. They tell you what to do, and you either did it or they would react. Oftentimes it included a hanger, a belt, a shoe, something like that. But you know what? It's even tougher being parents today, being grandparents today. We need to be proactive. By that, what I mean is praying for our kids and our grandkids. Wow. When I grew up, parents could count on their kids being safe in the neighborhood or at the park, and yes, even at school. That's the world I grew up in. My parents taught me right from wrong, and nobody in authority tried to undo what my parents taught me. Wow. Nowadays, you can't even send your kids to school without everybody in authority trying to erase what you put in them at home. Wow. That sounds a lot tougher than what my parents had to do. When I grew up, cops were heroes. And everybody knew it. Wow. Wait for this one. You guys all sitting down? Politicians mostly work together for the good of our country. Wow. I saw it and heard it. I'm an eyewitness to it when I saw politicians working together for the United States of America. Wow. TV shows, almost all TV shows, every week, almost always ended with a positive message. You got to look really hard nowadays to find something on TV that's going to inspire you to be a better person. Wow. When I grew up, you know what? There wasn't a single R show on television, on any channel, anywhere, on any TV. You could not find an R show on television when I grew up, when I was in junior high, elementary. How about now? Oh, well, you know what? They've repackaged some of this stuff. So now you have R, but you also have MA, right? Because they don't, I don't know if they, are they trying to say it's not R or it's better than R or it's worse than R? I don't know. They also have an 18 plus. What's the difference between R, MA, which means like mature audiences only, R, MA, and 18 plus? All I know is I don't want my grandkids watching that stuff. So I don't know what the difference is in all those three things. But these are just some of the differences from how I grew up to now. We need to be praying for our kids. And if you're a grandparent, we need to be praying for our kids and our grandkids. And, man, schools, I went to Sigsby School, and I went to Central High School. And at that time, they were a couple of the worst schools in West Michigan. I never seen a gun in any of those schools ever. Never heard of a gunshot in any of those schools ever. I seen a knife fight one time at Central. That's as bad as it got. How about now? It's horrible. School shootings are horribly common nowadays. They're demonically multiplying every single year. I would say every single month now. Holy kamunga. I started out saying how good God was, got you guys all relaxed. Oh, this is awesome. Now I kind of been punching you a little bit because I'm trying to inspire us to want to pray more. I'm literally trying to scare the hell into us a little bit or the hell out of us a little bit because we can't just wait for things to react and then decide we're going to pray for our kids. We can't just wait to react to pray for our grandkids because, man, some of this stuff can't be undone. A whole bunch of stuff can't be undone. So why am I going on and on and on about all this bad news? Because I want to convince us that we need to be in prayer. This good father that has good stuff for it, you know, some of that good stuff is protection for our kids and grandkids. It's provision for our kids and grandkids. It's for good, wholesome relationships for our kids and our grandkids. That's some of the things we can be praying for. And it matters. And guess what? Our kids are getting prayed for by perfect strangers. I had an amazing event yesterday. We went to a garage sale with Brad and Lois. They were actually hosting it, an estate sale. And while we were talking there, Lois said, oh, this woman's going to go off to, I think, Brazil to be a full-time missionary. Would you like to pray? I'm like, yeah, okay. So me and Jeanette go over there. We're going to pray. And we get chit-chatting and stuff. And she starts talking about, the grandma starts talking about how they've been praying for this woman's brother to have a good friend in school. And he plays a certain sport. And we're like, well, I think Lois or Jeanette said, well, do you know Mason McPherson? Because he plays football at that same school. And they're like, Mason McPherson? He's an answer to prayer. We are praying for, I won't say the kid's name, we are praying for this kid to have a good, godly, Christian friend. And Mason walked in the door. I could have gave that big old kid a big old hug and kiss. So you never know who's praying for your family and what end of that answered prayer it's going to be. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Okay, so here we go. Jeremiah 33:3. This is what I think of. When I think about praying, I don't think about just having to get down on my hands and knees. One of my knees is going to be sore, so that's a whole different thing. Try to get down on my hands and knees and then try to go through my grocery list of all the things that are broken or looks bad or it might not be. I start talking to God and say, God, show me something. Talk to me today. Holy Spirit, I want to hear you. I want to hear what's going on for this flock, for these people. Is there somebody that needs an email or a text or a phone call today? Is there someone that needs a home visit? Is there somewhere I need to go out in this community and just have a cup of coffee just so I can talk to somebody, encourage them? And you'll be surprised when you're open and you ask that, boom. Okay, Lord, is there something specific? Boom. Okay, I'm going to follow up on that. I have a little notepad right there when I'm praying. I start writing down. So when I get done with my prayer, I'll pick this thing out and I'll go do the stuff that I feel like God put on my heart. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I'll answer you. And show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Amen. Wow, that's not, he doesn't say, ask me real nice and maybe I'll make things work out that you already know about. He says, I'll show you great and mighty things you don't even know nothing about. Come on, I get excited when I think about it. This is how the message says it. Message version, which sometimes explains some things, but it's not good for Bible study. It's not good for really trying to study the Bible and build your theology. But once in a while to peek at it, see how they're phrasing things, I think it's good for that. So the message says it this way, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I'll answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. I like how they said that because I'm a grandparent now and I was a parent. And let me tell you, many times as a parent, I was in way over my head. I didn't know what we were going to do. I didn't have the right stuff to say. I didn't even know the right questions, and let alone right answers. And once we got saved, then we could pray, and it was amazing some of the things that happened. I just thank God right now. I've got a Christian daughter who's here with a Christian husband that's married to her. Our kids are getting raised Christian in a Christian home, and some of that is because we've been praying for about 31 years. But God is faithful. You know when he says, which you do not know? That word know, it literally means a lot of different things. This is some of the things that this word, it does mean knowledge. It does mean understanding. It also means being aware. And get this, it also means to have ability. So when we're talking to God about things that are way, way outside of our normal, or we're really challenged, we don't have an answer for it, he says, I'll tell you stuff. And I'll tell you in such a way that you have an ability then to apply that knowledge and understanding. If you're a parent, you know what it's like to be on your knees praying for your kids, praying about the same thing for the 100th time, and you seem like you've said this before, you've said it every way you can imagine, you've repeated it, you've said it, you're kind of out of words, Lord, now what? He says, well, just cry out to me, and I'll talk to you in ways, I'll show you ways that'll give you an understanding on this and an ability to have the victory through this whole thing. Great and mighty things, or like the message says, marvelous and wondrous things. Yeah, okay, I like that. When I was preparing this, I was thinking about you guys and just kind of going through the roll call of the dads that are here and the granddads that are here. And I think I personally know just about every single dad here. And I think this blanket statement covers all of us. I'm a dad and a granddad. Even if this is your first time here, first time at this church, I think it'd still be accurate for you. I think this statement's probably accurate for all of us, not just dads and granddads. All of us have at least one person in our lives that we love that we need God to help, protect, or guide. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, most of the people in my life, hey, no big deal. They seem to be doing really good. They're making good choices. They're living a good life. Yep, amen. But I'm related to a couple of people who are suffering from a bad case of stupids. I need God to touch them. I need God to protect them while they're making poor choices. But I'm really praying for God to touch them, speak to them, do to and for them what he's doing to and for me. The best blessing I can pray for someone is for them to get born again. Yes. I can pray for a better job, and I can pray for a bigger house and lower interest rates and some of those. That don't compare to being born again. Amen. I pray for my presence to get born again just about every day. That's the best blessing I can think for President Joe Biden is for that guy to get radically born again and give his life to the Lord. Imagine what would happen in our nation. Oh, my goodness. So, as I'm thinking about these people, as we're thinking about these people that we need God to touch, protect, and guide, if you're a grandpa, it's not just kids. Some of us have multiple kids, multiple families who have multiple kids. And so I've talked to some of you guys, and there's like, I don't know, I'm going to guess 25 people that you're praying for and hoping for and believing God to touch and protect and guide it. A person can't carry all that. Man, we got to give some of this stuff to God and say, Lord, this is a God job. This isn't a man job anymore. Mowing the lawn's a man job. All this stuff, my loved ones, this is a God job. Would you handle it? Call to me and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Wow, that's amazing. So this is Old Testament. I always like to work the two testaments together because they're not standalone. They're a Bible. There's an Old Testament and New Testament, but it's a Bible. And the Old Testament backs up the New Testament. The New Testament confirms the Old Testament. And so Jeremiah tells us, God says, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Well, where can we find that in the New Testament? You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read John chapter 4, verse 10. This is what Jesus said to the woman at the well, which if you're familiar with the story, she had an issue in her life, a guy issue. She had a track record that wasn't so great, just like all of us. When we came to the Lord, we had a mess in our life, and we had made a mess of our life for most of us. A few of us didn't. A few of us got saved when they're young. Never went through all that garbage and the stupids like I did. Praise God. Hallelujah. But this woman came, she's talking to Jesus. She's trying to talk about buckets and water and being in the desert and stuff, and Jesus just cut right through the chase. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Jeremiah says God will talk to you and show you wonders and marvelous things. Jesus says, if you knew who I was and you asked me to fill you up, I would have gave you living water. Okay, I think I'll go for living water. You know, in another conversation, Jesus says, this living water will be like a fountain that springs up out of you. So rather than just seeing neat and marvelous and cool things, which I get kicks out of miracles, I sure do. I pray for them all the time. I'm not one of these guys that says, well, if God does something, that's awesome. No, God, I want to see this dude healed of cancer, and I want to see it happen this week. I've seen it before. I want to see more of it. I'm all about miracles. But I'm all about having this miracle inside me, too. I don't want to be a dead Christian that has good habits, that when he's all dressed up in his three-piece suit and he's carrying his Bible, he really looks religious. I want to have the Holy Ghost in me. I want to have the Holy Spirit in me, explaining things to me, encouraging me, filling me with hope. So that when I see one of my relatives that's still struggling with the old lifestyle I used to be in, I'm full of hope that the God that did this to me and is still doing it inside me is going to get all over that guy. Man. So are you at Luke chapter 11? If you're not, go ahead and turn there now. It's Father's Day, and I think most of us either be giving or getting gifts or both. And our good, good Father gives good gifts. And Luke 11 is a very interesting chapter. We're going to be highlighting on chapter 11, verse 13. This is what Jesus said. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Wow. This is the same chapter that starts out, actually, in verse 2, starts out by the apostle said, well, teach us to pray. And so he gives them the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We should call it our prayer. Jesus didn't say, this is how I'm going to pray. He said, this is how y'all ought to pray. So he said, it starts out by us talking to our Father in heaven. Verse 13, he's saying, ask your heavenly Father a gift, and he'll give you the best gift of all. It's an amazing chapter. I'm just going to highlight a few things as we kind of go towards the end of the sermon now. But he starts out by saying, this is how you have to pray. You're going to pray relationally. We're going to start out by saying, our Father who art in heaven. He didn't say you're going to pray to Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. He said, call him Dad. And actually the term in the Aramaic is Abba, Father. It's like, dear Dad. It's intimacy with respect. So I don't believe in some of the sloppy agape stuff that people talk about. I'm all about God being our tender Father that loves us. You bet. But he is God Almighty. Let's never forget respect mixed with that intimacy. So Jesus says, call him Abba, a dear father. Then he starts going through this chapter, and it's really amazing. So, like, there's a story in there about the persistent friend. Do you guys know about that story where he tells him the story? He says, praying is kind of like this. This one person goes over to a friend's house, starts rapping on the door, and the guy that's upstairs sleeping in bed with his kids, oh, by the way, it's at midnight, so he's sleeping comfortably in bed with his kids, and this guy starts rapping on the door, and the dude says, go away, I'm in bed, get out of here, get lost, oh, my aching back, this jerk's not going to leave, I'll go down and give him what he wants. Read the story. I'm not exaggerating. Read the story. It says, out of their persistence, I love this, it says, out of the persistence, he goes down and gives to that friend everything they wanted. Wow. Jesus, this is a chapter. Jesus starts out saying, oh, you guys want to know how to pray? Go to your heavenly Father and say this. And then he teaches us the Lord's Prayer. Then he tells us that story. It's like, yeah, he's our heavenly Father. He loves us. But keep knocking. Is there someone or something in your life that hasn't changed yet? There's things I've been praying for 31 years. There's things I've been praying for since June of 91. I'm still knocking. I was knocking this morning before I came in, praying for a certain individual. I'll always be praying for that guy until I die or he gets truly born again and set free. Keep on praying. And then he goes into this. You'll be familiar with this one too. He says, keep on asking, keep on praying, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Because if you keep doing that, asking, seeking, knocking, it'll be opened, it'll be revealed, and you'll be receiving all that you wanted. Right? It seems so simple. So he gets done with all that. This is how you're supposed to pray. Pray persistently. By the way, keep praying persistently. Keep on knocking. Keep going. Keep going. Get so carried away with this that you start thinking you're really starting to bug God all the time about this same thing. That's the challenge, isn't it? So then he takes it from there to where then we get to verse 13. Verse 13 is really amazing. After he goes through all these things, then he comes down to this and he says, our fathering skills are similar to our Heavenly Father skills. And then he says this funny thing. He says, you guys give gifts, and our Heavenly Father gives gifts. And he says, even you guys, you evil dads. Ouch, that's a little harsh, a little hurtful. But moving on. He says, even you guys give your kids good stuff when they ask. Nobody gives bad stuff to their kids, right? I mean, look at little Joe. He wants his birthday present. I'm going to give him a sack of garbage. We would never do that. He says, even you guys, being evil, give good gifts to your kids. Imagine what our Heavenly Father gives when you ask. I mean, this is absolutely, he's like trying to exaggerate to the nth degree to drive this point home. If you guys, in your shortcomings, in your weaknesses, in your challenges every day, still give your kids good stuff when they ask, think about your perfect Heavenly Father who loves you, who paid for you with his son's blood. Think what he will give to you. Wow. Will he not give you the Holy Spirit? That's the best gift he can give us. In our relationship with Abba Father, the best gift that unlocks all the other gifts is the Holy Spirit. It unlocks everything else. You think of anything else in your life, the Holy Spirit unlocks that here on earth. You want joy? Guess who gives you joy? Takes from, boom. We got joy. You need peace? Here's peace. You need something explained? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Holy Spirit, you need to be comforted? He's the Spirit of comfort. He's the Spirit of revelation. The Holy Spirit is it here on earth. Jesus sitting up in heaven on the right hand of the Father. So everything happening right now in our lives is the Holy Ghost. Whew, man, in this whole chapter about prayer, Jesus said, if you guys... And you know how you are. If you guys give your kids good gifts, imagine what the Heavenly Father will give you. Will he not give you his Holy Spirit? Wow. The Holy Spirit is our encourager. He's our healer. He's our comforter. He's the one who gives us wisdom, discernment, understanding. Jesus said, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and he will remind you of everything I've said. So I only need to do two things. I need to read the Bible and then enjoy your Holy Spirit that you gave me when I got born again. Yeah, he'll remind you of everything you read that I said. Wow, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So he takes of what's the Father's, he gives it to us. He takes our stuff and gives it to the Father. In Romans, it says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with things that we can't even say. Wow, wow, thank you, Lord. So what do we do with all this stuff today? Let's wrap this thing up. Let's combine our verses and try to put a fine point on this that we can apply to our lives. Jeremiah 33 says, 33:3, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Luke 11:13, Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wow. Dads, do you remember what integrity means? That's kind of where we start. Strong moral principles and wholeness without being divided. So as we go forward, I just put three priorities here, and maybe they'll be different for you. Maybe only one or two of them will be priority for you. But just think about this and what God spoke to your heart while I was talking in these verses. So first priority is to ask our Father to make us like Him, strong and whole inside and out. I don't want to be a religious hypocrite. You know, I show up at church, I say all the right stuff, and people look at me, oh, he's a good Christian, he's a pastor, wow. Then I leave here, and I'm barking at my wife, barking at my kids and grandkids, and cutting people off in traffic and all that nonsense, right? We don't want to be them. Lord, make me like you. Heavenly Father, make me like you. Number two, let's make a habit to ask him to show what's needed for our families. Knowledge with the ability to apply it. What do my kids need? What does my daughter need? What does my son-in-law need? What do my grandkids need? What does my wife need? What does this church need? What do you carry? What are your worries? That'll tell you what you need to pray for. It's real easy. We keep a mental list of what needs to be prayed for. It's called our worry list. God, what can I do about this? What Holy Spirit, what do I even need to pray for in this situation? What are the promises in the Bible that I can pray through for that person or that family? Third one. Every time you hear somebody knocking now, I'm going to be in your head. Oh, I got to pray. Oh, I got to pray more. Oh, that darn Pastor Mike. Let's be persistent in asking our Abba Father for all that we need and all that our families need for the days ahead. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and open your heart towards God as I pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every single person here today. I thank you for the dads and the granddads. I thank you for the moms and the grandmas. I thank you for the kids that are in Children's Church, Lord. I thank you for every person and every family that's here in this building today. Lord, we run around all the time saying, well, the church is us, it's not this building. Well, Lord, I'm really praying that you drive that home today. You are our Heavenly Father. You love us literally more than we'll ever truly understand in our whole lives. And Lord, I'm asking today, in the name of Jesus Christ, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would bring illumination to all of us in our minds and in our spirits to understand how much you love us, to understand all that you have for us and our families and our areas of responsibility. And I'm asking in Jesus' name, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit now, all of us could walk in a greater definition of integrity, inside and out, so that we can be great advertisement of being your kids and that we can bring the message of hope, the message of life to this hurting, hurting world. Lord, I ask all these in Jesus' name. Jesus is the one and only risen Savior. No other man-made religion, no other demonic religion even claims to have a risen Savior. They don't even try to lie about it. That's how magnificent this is. And Father, I pray that for all of us now, the reality of having a risen Savior and having resurrection power in us through the power of the Holy Spirit would be part of how we live. Would you please do that, Father? We honor you. We praise you. It's Father's Day, and you're the greatest Father that ever was, that is, or ever will be. We give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have a little get-together just across the hall right over there in the fellowship room. We have a cake over there for Andy and Denise's anniversary. So we invite all of you to come over there and have a piece of cake. I know it's Father's Day. We're all kind of in a hurry, but if you could just take a second, maybe say congratulations to them and get a piece of cake, that would be awesome. God bless you. Have a great week. Oh, by the way, all the dads and granddads, on Mother's Day, I give the women roses. And so for the guys, I get beef jerky. And so there's two kinds in there. There's one that's a little bit hot, and then there's regular. So help yourself to either one. And if you have a dad that you're going to be visiting or someone that you're going to go visit later today, grab one for him too.